going to be, yeah, either sin or a slave to righteousness, right? That's the only two choices there are, okay? And when someone is a slave, and all of us are, what is that concept that we've got to keep in mind in terms of, you know, the slave-master relationship?
I don't really know.
Are y'all asleep this morning?
Do what?
You're not woken up yet, okay. Do what, Wes?
No will of your own.
Okay, no will of your own. In other words, you do what the master tells you to do, right? The master says go here, you go there. The master says come here, you come here. The master says do this, you do this. And because you work for the master. So in that first part of it, that's what we've got to understand. This mind of a servant, and one part of that is it's the whole issue of submission. Turn over to Philippians. Keep your finger right here in Acts 20, but turn over to Philippians chapter 2. This whole concept of having a mind of a servant, and we look at Christ and his servanthood. Look at what he gave up to come here to be a servant. And what does Paul here in Philippians 2 have to say about him? Have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Okay, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather what? He emptied himself, right? Taking on the very nature of a servant, okay? Becoming in the form of a man, okay? Okay, he became obedient to what extent? To death, even death on the cross. Okay, so what does that indicate to us then about having this mind of a servant? What does it require? What does it call upon us to do? Remember, he says, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. So first of all, what's he telling us? Okay, that's the mind Jesus had. We want to be like Jesus. What do we got to do? Yeah, we got to think like him first of all, right? And so we've got to be willing to be a servant even unto the point of death. Okay, even unto the point of death. If you gotten the copy of the bulletin this morning already, and you've looked at the article. How many of you read the article on the front of the bulletin yet? I know nobody ever reads those anyway, right? Okay. Do I?
But the new fiction does.
USTAF. Have not heard anything about him over the last few days as far as his status. I assume that he is still alive. But here is a man who is a servant even unto death. See? Is that not what Christ is talking about? What he wants us to be? You know, here's a man who's been in prison for 3 years and has been sentenced to death because he refuses to denounce his faith in Christ in a country where that is a capital offense. What now? Well, it's moving in that direction, isn't it? Okay. This may sound kind of odd to you, but I'm not sure if that's necessarily even a bad thing. I think things like that have a tendency to thin out the herds. You know, in other words, all kinds of folks that claim to be Christians, but how many of them are going to be willing? How many of us are going to be willing to stand up even to the point of death for Christ? And that's what we're looking at here, isn't it? Have that kind of mind of a servant where you are obedient even to the point of death. Okay? So you know, we look at, go back over here to Acts chapter 20, and look at some of the things that, you know, in that text there, in Philippians, it talks about us not considering others better than ourselves and so forth. Is that one of the requirements of us really being able to serve God no matter what? And the author of this material here has some questions on here. How would I act if I counted others more important than myself? Any thoughts on that? Do we have a problem with that in our culture? What kind of problem is it? You know, I'm not going to let you off the hook easy by just going, yeah, agreeing with me. Okay, you got to get specific here. Okay? What's the problem with that? What kind of problem do we have?
In our culture, I think we believe or have been taught in a way a lot of it's got to be about you.
Thank you. It's all about me, right? You got to look out for number one. See, and number one is me. Okay? That's what's prevalent in our culture. Okay? You got to look out for yourself because nobody else is going to, right? You don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to do it for you, right? You've got to take care of yourself. That's what our culture teaches and preaches. See? Wes? Yeah.
You can't help nobody else if you don't take care of yourself first. So okay. You carry that to the extreme is you got to be so much advanced, so far advanced, you know, before I can help you, I got to make sure I got all my bases covered. Mm-hmm. I'm really situated to again. Okay, I'll do what I need to do.
Okay. Well, see, I think you're right, but, you know, That principle is what I refer to as the airline principle. When I, you know, give talks and stuff, you know, I talk about that in terms of, you know, when you fly on an airplane, how many of y'all have flown on airplanes? You get on there and the stewardess and the steward, you know, they give you all this speech about all the safety stuff, and they talk about the oxygen masks, right? Okay, and, you know, if the cabin loses pressure, the oxygen mask will fall from, you know, the slot in the ceiling there, and the instructions are for you to do what? Okay, if you have someone traveling with you that needs assistance, put your oxygen mask on first and then help the other person, right? Why do you do that? Why those instructions? Because exactly what you just said, right? The idea is if you don't get your mask on and you pass out because you're not having enough oxygen, you're not going to be able to help the other person, right? So put yours on first, then you can help other people. Self-preservation. But what's the difference between doing that and this whole idea of looking out for me? What's missing in the looking out for me part of it?
Caring
about the other part. It's like, hey, I got my mask on. You don't get yours on. That's your problem. You see? That's the big difference. I you know, there's only one mask here, and I get it. Okay? And I won't even take mine off and let you puff a few, you know, puffs of air there every, you know, few seconds, you know, to keep you alive and me too. You know, this is all for me. You see? You know, you can't get your mask on. Tough luck, Charlie. You see? That's the me attitude. You see, the self-preservation that says, hey, it's all about me. And that's the kind of attitude that our culture is teaching. You see? You get enough. I might want to take care of somebody else once I've gotten everything that I need and everything's taken care of for me, then maybe. But even in doing that, I'm going to make sure that nothing happens to me because it really is all about me. Okay. Where would you and I be today if Jesus had that attitude?
Be lost.
Yeah, we would. You know, he said, hey, it's all about me. There's no way I'm going to die for those people. I didn't even do anything wrong. They're all guilty anyway, so they deserve what they get. Now, how does that make you feel about what he did? Make you feel a little bit better? See? Yeah. Because he has considering other people better than himself. Now, here's a real catcher. You know, last week I warned you, I told you, you know, wear steel-toed shoes, right? You know, Jesus considered other people better than himself. It's what he calls upon us to do. He's God. Okay? So what's that tell you about you and me? Last time I checked, I'm not part of the Godhead. How about you? Okay? I know there are some people in this world who have a God complex, okay? And they think more highly of themselves than they should. But, you know, if Jesus, knowing who he was, knowing where he came from, and knowing where he was going back to, if he could do this, you see, and that's what the whole issue of humility is all about, isn't it? Then why should we have such an issue with it? See? Knowing that he is God. Bottom of that page there, that first inside page, the question, if other people are more important to me than myself, will I let fear stop me from talking to them about Jesus? Will I let anything stop me? And then in parentheses, here's the question. What are some of the things that might stop us, what might stop you from talking to others about Jesus? What are some of the obstacles that you face?
Anger.
Okay. All right. Anger at the specific person or... Okay. All right. Okay. So they might get angry at you. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Inadequacy.
I guess it's probably falling on the fear of it. Thinking that don't know the Bible well enough, they're gonna ask a question I can't answer. I don't want to look foolish, and you know, don't know enough.
Okay. Okay. What else?
Yeah, losing my friendship.
All right, you're losing your friendship. How many of you have ever been in sales work? Okay, selling stuff to people. Okay? What are some of the things that you have to have in order to be a successful salesperson? A good personality? Okay.
A gift of gab.
A gift of gab? Okay. All right, you're getting there. Belief in the product. Thank you. Confidence in the product. Confidence in what it is that you're... Oh, in other words, let me ask it this way. If someone were to come along and they want to sell you, let's say, you know, some furniture polish, okay? This is the best furniture polish ever, okay? Or the best vacuum cleaner, or the best cleaning, you know, whatever it is, okay? What's one of the first questions that you should ask that person? Exactly. Do you use this? Now, if that person says no, okay, what does that tell you? Okay, it must not be very good, or at least you're not convinced of how good it is, so why should I buy it? Okay, now, so what is that really telling us about this whole idea of being, you know, concerned about telling other people about things? If you really believe in something, if you really believe that something is good for other people, what are you going to do with it? Do what? Yeah, you're going to broadcast. You're going to share it. You're going to tell people about it, aren't you? You see? Because you want them. You know, yeah, and when you're selling stuff, there's also the financial aspect, right? Okay? You know, that the more I sell, the more money I make. Okay? But let's remove that aspect of it in terms of, and I think that probably if that's the only reason someone is trying to sell something, then doesn't that oftentimes show? You know, in other words, they you know, they're just out there trying to make a buck. You know, they don't really believe in the product they're selling. They go, hey, you know what? I'm not interested in buying it from you. Okay. So isn't that whole aspect of having a belief in that what you're trying to share with someone else, whether it's selling something or whether it's trying to share Jesus, that, you know, you've got to first of all use it yourself. And you've got to believe in its ability to do what it says it can do. And so then you would share it with other people. Okay. Now another aspect of trying to sell things to people is that you've got to be convinced that they really need it. Would you agree with that? I mean, if people don't really need something, why would you go out and try to sell it? Right. So you're looking at it in terms of something that people really need. That creates the market, right, Wes? You see? And so is there a market for Jesus out there? Not based, again, on the financial aspect, but just on the need. See? Do people need Jesus? Sure they do. So when we have those kinds of things going on here, we recognize that there's a need, we believe in the product ourselves, and we're using the product ourselves. What's standing in the way of us sharing it with folks? Sometimes it's worried about, you know, they're going to get angry with me. It's these things we've been talking about. So how do we get over that stuff? Okay. Well, in the anger department, let me ask you this. Who would you rather have angry with you? That person who is supposed to be your friend or your family member or whoever, or God, because you were his servant and you weren't doing what he told you to do? Who would you rather have angry with you? Okay. And if they were your best friend and they got angry with you and quit talking with you and broke off the friendship, then what kind of friend were they to begin with? See? That you're sharing something with them that you are convinced is, you know, in their best interest, and they would get upset with you for doing so, then they weren't a very good friend, as much a good friend as what you thought to begin with. Now, when it comes to the whole thing of the confidence issue, Wes, that you brought up, and we've mentioned this before, you know, the whole idea, well, I don't know the Bible enough, and, you know, maybe I'll say something wrong, or whatever the case may be. What's the problem there? Okay? Not studying enough. You don't know your product well enough, right? See? You're going to go out and try to sell something, and you don't know it well enough. Maybe because you haven't researched it. Maybe you haven't. Somebody help me here. What is it? Thank you. You haven't used it enough. Okay? Haven't used it enough. Because the more you use it, the better you get to know it, you see? The more you become familiar with it. And so what do you have then to be afraid of? You know, is that person going to ask you, well, do you use this? Absolutely, every day. Can't go a day without using it. But if someone were to ask us that question, if they were to ask you that question, and you had to answer them honestly, how would you have to answer it? Just think about that. See, I warn you, wear your steel-toed shoes. Okay? How would you have to answer that person if they said, do you use this product? What's the chances of that kind of thing happening? Yeah, they're excellent, I would suggest, aren't they? The chances of us telling people, hey, you know, and trying to share, and then us messing up, I'd say they're excellent chances of that. I mean, I know for me they are, okay? I don't know about you, but I know for me, because I mess up a lot. Okay? So what do we do about it? You mess up, you fess up. See? I mean, we have to have an understanding. It's not permission to sin, but it's the realization that we're in the midst of spiritual warfare, and some days we're not going to handle it very well, and other days we are. And maybe that's part of the thing we've got to share with the folks that we're, you know, that we're trying to share Jesus with. It says, look, no such thing as a perfect person. I mess up too, but you know what? The point is, I try. I'm trying every day to be what God wants me to be, and some days I do it better than others. Okay? So that they understand. And I think that's one of the problems that Christians have created in trying to share the gospel with people, is that we tend to come across as being, you know, sinless. You see? Oh, you're a Christian, you better not do that anymore, you see. And you know, and what does that do? That creates a couple of things. Number one, it creates this idea that people have, that they're looking at you going, oh, well, you messed up, you see, and so forth. So that gives them, you know, the right to, you know, to criticize. The other part of it is, doesn't that tend? I think it does, because I talk to a lot of people. I think it tends to give people the idea that, you know, why bother trying? I can't measure up to that. You know, the standard is so high that there's just no way I can measure up to that, so what's the point? I can't be perfect. See, I think there's maybe sometimes there's people out there who are not Christians that understand that better than those who are Christians do. You know? Okay?
Well, I think a lot of people don't go to church. Judged, because it is going to judge, but yet it seems to be the one place that very gossipy. People talk about you more there. It's like high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's just another social club. I mean, I hate to say it, because a lot of people that go, it's not, but there is a mass majority. It's like that.
Yeah, so, and
so it's just kind of like, you know, and who are you to judge me when you're doing the same thing?
Right.
So it's kind of hypocritical.
Absolutely. Well, and that's one of the biggest excuses I hear from people is, Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that was just making a point. I think that's the kind of a consensus out there. It's just like people are shying away from it.
I think you're right. And I think
especially
that
the younger generation.
I can't measure up to that, so why even bother? And, you know, the standards are set
it's
so
just
high.
Just losing credibility, I think. It's not the word or the, you know, God, or they're just finding other places to go because it's kind of turned into a negative situation.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I agree with you. You know, that in a lot of cases, that's exactly what goes on.
We're finding other places and other ways to do it.
And I think that you know, what we've got to do is we've got to help people understand that, you know, look, there's no such thing as a perfect Christian out here, you know. We're all in a struggle, you know, and it's a daily struggle, as we talk about time and time again. That's one thing, Laura, that I'd say here, I think that's one thing that we recognize and acknowledge that a whole lot better here than places that I've, you know, experienced in the past, that you know, just recognizing the whole aspect of spiritual warfare that we're talking about that says, hey, look, you know, there's none of us that are perfect here. And every single day, you know, when I get up, I try to put on my armor because I know I'm going into spiritual warfare with Satan. And there's going to be some days that I'm not going to do very well. I'm going to come out of that battle bloody and bruised. And other days that I'm going to come out going, yes, today was a good day. And that's the reality, and that's what we've got to help people to see. That's what it's about. It's not about being perfect. It's about striving for perfection, but realizing that we're never going to reach that until we're with Him in eternity. Okay. But when we set those standards for other people, and then we don't live up to them ourselves, then again, we show ourselves to be very hypocritical. You say. And then also we set the standard so high that people are just, they say, oh, there's no way I can live up to that, so why bother? You know, the Lord?
And then it's hard, well, I know for me, it's hard to talk to people that you've known for a long time. And you see them be in their life. They have Christ, you know. It's easier to talk to somebody you just met.
Okay.
You know, because people that you know, they're looking at you, well, I know what you do.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So they won't come out and tell you.
Yeah.
You know, they don't recognize that you're trying to make a change, and who is helping you make a change in your life.
Well, yeah, you're right, Dolores, but again, you know, I think about it in terms of saying, you know what, you're right. You know, my past life was a mess, but that's not who I am anymore. You know, I mean, I think about, you know, people that knew me back when I was, you know, before I became a Christian, you know, I'm a young policeman, single, you know, I was living it up. And people that know me now and go, you're a preacher? You know, yeah, it's a different life. I'm not who I was back then. Well, why is that? Well, because of Jesus. That's the reason.
And I think also when you're talking to people, and we all have done some things in our past, but it's just easier to just say that from the beginning. And then you can also use that experience as a teaching tool.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can tell, you know, let someone else know this is not, you know, the way it should be going, and just, you know, go from there.
Absolutely. Which takes us back to one of the most important keys to being able to share Jesus with other people. And again, it's a word that we just in the Church of Christ don't like, you see. It's witnessing. You know, it also goes back and addresses what you brought up earlier, Wes, this whole thing, well, I don't know the Bible well enough. You know, maybe somebody asked me a question I don't know very well. Well, let me ask you this, okay? Think about it. If you are witnessing, that is basically sharing your story with someone else, is there a question they're going to be able to ask you that you don't know about that? In other words, what your life was like before Christ and what Christ has done for you, Is there a question they're going to be able to ask that you don't know the answer to that? I know with me, is I may not like to answer it, okay? But I know if it's going to help that person, you see, to see what they need to do, then yeah, I can answer that question. Because again, that's my past, but there's nothing they can ask me that I don't know the answer to when I'm telling my story. And that's what it's all about. Okay? Tell your story. Tell people where you've been. Tell them, you know, yeah, you know what? And when I was young, before I was a Christian, here's the kind of stuff I was involved in. See? And I'm not telling you to brag about it. I'm telling you that's the reality of it. But let me tell you where I'm at now, and let me tell you why I'm where I am. Anybody can do that. See? Well, I think you're right, and I think that, you know, we need to tell people, look, you know, yeah, this is what was going on in my life before I came into contact with Christ. I don't do those things anymore. I've changed my life. But you know what? There's still things that I struggle. I don't struggle with those things anymore because I've overcome those things. But there's still stuff that I struggle with today, you see, and that's the reality of it, see. But let me tell you about how I work on overcoming those things I struggle with today. Okay?
And if there's nothing that they could do, then it's time to find a way.
Right.
Because it's always there. Open arms, ready to accept them. If they're just coming to that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it helps you to
know you went through before you ever left the house there.
Yeah.
Because when I had murder in my heart, I never left it.
Okay. I know. You and I have talked about that. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't talk about that Gatling gun, too.
I got about the new one.
Yeah, I've heard about the new one. No, but you're right, Miss Jean. You're exactly right. I think that you know, really coming to terms with those things is what helps us get rid of that stuff, you know, and to get that kind of thing out of our heart. You know, but we can only do that through the power of Christ, really. See, and yet, you know, I don't know about you, but and this is the thing I talk with folks that I work with all the time, you know, in counseling with, you know, people that are struggling with different things. You know, I know for me, as I, you know, things that I used to struggle with may not be an issue for me anymore. You know, but as I've grown in Christ, there are things that I never, they weren't even on the radar screen when I was a young Christian, in terms of things that I needed to, you know, to work on in my life. But as I grow and mature in Christ, I think that God shows me new things that I need to work on and overcome in my life, things that I never even thought of. You know? I mean, there are some things that are so obvious, and like, you know, I've told you before, when I first became a Christian, you know, and I was going to church with Cindy even before that, you know, and again, you know, young policemen working out on the streets, you know, I had a terrible mouth. I mean, you know, I didn't feel comfortable in opening my mouth around church people because I was afraid what was going to come out. It was so bad. well, that's not an issue for me anymore. But you know what? As I, you know, I got married, and there were some things I had to learn about being the kind of husband that God wanted me to be, which wasn't on my radar screen even when I first got married. It's like, marriage, yeah, cool, okay. And then there was the stuff about being a father that came around a little bit, and I'm like, oh, this is a piece of cake. And I'm realizing, oh, yeah, it's a piece of cake to be a worldly father, but to be a godly father, some things I need to learn. Okay? And that's what life is all about, you see? And it's constantly learning and growing in areas that you never even realize. And in the process of doing that, you're not going to do it perfectly. But you see, those are the kinds of things that we can witness to people about, you see, and share with them. Keith? We're out of time again.
Can be said about the struggle aspect itself, because if we just, you know, like in this gene story, we just go out and act on those things, you know, where would we be? But the fact that we struggle and say, well, no, there's got to be something different, there's got to be a better way,
right,
shows us that there is a better way just in that struggle,
right,
just having that particular struggle by itself, and you going through that battle, you're willing to go through that battle and come up with a better alternative rather than to just say, you know, I'm going with this, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I think that's even before a lot of times that's either somebody praying for us if you don't know Christ at that point,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, or, you know, just God having favor over us until he says, I'm going to save you until that time.
Right.
And so you get to know this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The struggle itself.
Yeah. And the fact that we are in those kind of struggles ought to tell us and convince us that, you know, spiritual warfare is a reality. You see? That Satan is working to pull us away from God, and God is working on our behalf and fighting on our behalf to, you know, to help us through those different things. Because of God's power in your life, he helped you work through that, didn't he? That's the power of God. See, those are stories, and you and I have talked about that a couple of different times, Gene, but those are the kinds of things that people need to hear about what God is doing in our lives. Okay? All right. Y'all know I had intended to get through lesson 9 today. We will continue. We're going to look at the next section on this, on the next page over there, looking at a mind of compassion and then a mind of resolution. All right?